Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. At times, it can feel as if our world is facing crisis on every front. We need not look farther than our own borders to see impacts of climate change, racial, social, and economic injustice, along with deep political divides. As we confront these issues, we're beginning to see how they are interconnected, which is both a challenge and an opportunity. Art is often out in front of social and political change, and the Earth Justice Show, put on by the Art Peacemakers Collective, is a recent example. Joining us to talk about the Earth Justice Show is Harriet Jerusha Corum, artist, activist, co-founder of Art Peacemakers, CapeCool.org, and the Beat Greens. Welcome, Harriet.
Well, good morning to you. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to...
Oh, you bet.
And thanks for all the forces that bring us to this moment alive and breathing also.
Yeah. Also joining us, Cheryl Ann Jaffe, fiber artist, educator, director of Wellfleet Historical Society and Museum. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, thank you for having us.
And Mary Lou Blakesley, artist, naturalist, in love with the wild world. She joins us from her home in Montana. Hi, Mary Lou.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. All right, so Harriet, what is the Art Peace Collective?
Well, Art Peacemakers is a group that started actually in 1984 in the middle of the nuclear freeze movement in Wellfleet. And it's basically bringing together people of all ages to explore the connections between making art for ourselves, for each other, for the world, and making peace for ourselves by doing it. So that's sort of the history of it. And since 2003, we've been sponsoring an annual participatory all-ages walk with a lot of colorful spotlight on children's art on MLK Day, and in 2012 we became a collective. So you know, now there's a bunch of people steering the committee and helping, and it's open to new members too sometimes. So something good to know about for artists and peacemakers out there.
Yeah, Cheryl, tell us more about the meaning of the collective for you.
Well, I've worked doing political art and doing all different kinds of art pretty much all my life. And I've also done a lot of activism, most recently, you know, for the past 15 years or so in the climate justice movement. And for me, it's just amazing. There's actually a bunch of collectives who are part of the art exhibit, you know, that happened at Four Seas this fall. But for me, it's a lot of the work that we do as artists, and a lot of our connection with nature is very about solitude. So chances to work together and bring stuff together are very special.
Mary Lou, you're an artist and a naturalist, and you take people to remote places in the world and share the natural history of these places. What kinds of changes have you seen to the environment, and how does this influence your work as an artist?
Yeah, so I've been out in wild places for decades now, and as I see the changes that have happened to the planet, things that we don't necessarily notice unless you're engaged with nature, it is really important to me to have people try to engage with the nature that's around them. And you know, we take for granted so often that there are birds flying by or that things are happening. And, you know, we might witness it from time to time, but that there are dramatic changes, 80% of the songbirds disappearing in the United States. That's a really something that we can turn around if we just pay attention.
Cheryl, talk about the role of art in social and political movements. What can it achieve, and what are its limitations?
Well, I think if I start with what it can achieve, I think that's still to be imagined and still to be determined. I think one of the most important achievements is the connection that it brings, both for the people making art, the people observing it, who are nurtured by viewing it, and also the artists coming together to talk about it and rejoice in it. I think that, you know, some of the limitations are lots of people don't feel nurtured by art, or they don't bring it into their daily lives. much in the same way that many people are not in touch with nature in their daily lives. So sometimes it's important to put art out there on the street or in the elevator or in the stairway where people can just come across it and just try and make people more aware of the sunlight coming in through the window and the way it looks through the trees and the leaves and this connection, and to feel this collaboration both with nature, with natural materials, and also with our fellow human beings and kin with the other creatures of the planet.
And there's also, now that there's more art in the street because there have been these justice movements that have been really, reborn happening now. And the art that people bring out into the street is something that really influences lots of other people. Even small little signs that people make and carry out are, copied and shared all over the world, and have impact that way. But also it's also good to recognize that a lot of the things we don't think of as art are art. The way you put together a radio show, or the way we put together a meal, in terms of the food and the guests and all that, those are all artful, can be artful acts that can have impacts. So I think that the impact of art is kind of limitless.
Yeah. Harriet, describe the impetus behind the Earth Justice Show and the themes that you wanted to touch on.
Well, the impetus is that, Art Peacemakers has been creating art shows since 1984. Every few years we do large shows, and since 2003, we've been doing mainly children's art shows. And it's about just shining a light on our desire for justice, our love of the world, of each other. And children's art is amazing that way, and it's important to honor it and to give an opportunity for parents and kids and families to feel part of the art, process together. So that's part of the evolution. The other thing is that I've been active in the climate justice movement, and right before we did. This show was born at the Wellfleet Library, and I want to thank the Wellfleet Library and Naomi Robbins for hosting the first iteration of this show in January, and also, of course, to Natalie Ferrier and the Higgins Gallery for making it happen at Four Seas. I was moved. I got to march with Greta Thunberg in September. I've been on lots of other climate justice marches, and the creativity, the songs, and the banners, and the chants, and all of that to me is art that can be, So I usually work a lot with art that isn't in the gallery, but every once in a while it's nice to put it in a gallery and say, hey, this is art. So some of our banners were part of the show also.
Should mention that there are virtual tours of the Earth Justice Show. We'll have a link at our website, capeandislands.org.
Right, and if you just go on YouTube and do hashtag Art Peacemakers, it'll come up also, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mary Lou, your image titled Looking Back is included in the show. It's a very intimate photograph of a gray whale off the Baja coast. Tell us more about the encounter that led to that image.
Yeah, that was an amazing, amazing moment. It's a image of an eye of a gray whale calf. And down in the lagoons off Baja where the gray whales come down to give birth to these beautiful animals, the gray whale calves are very curious and playful, as young often are, and so they will come right up to the small boats and they'll lift their faces up out of the water, and they come to be petted, so you can actually, if you're lucky, are able to reach over and touch one of these whales. And it's not always just the young ones too, sometimes moms want to get touched as well, and so they'll come up. It's just really an incredible experience. But that particular photo was important to me because it's not just what it is that you see when you go out into the world, but it's that moment when you have an interaction where the wildlife is looking at you and not as you as one of this mass of humanity, but you as an individual, just like you're looking at it as an individual. And it's an experience of a different, of a whole different level. I wasn't holding the camera up to my eye. I was actually engaging with that animal and took the picture just off to the side and got it. So I wanted to share that with people, that moment of engagement.
Yeah, what a powerful moment. Cheryl, you're a fiber artist, and part of your creative process is making the materials you use in your work. So talk about the interplay between the materials you use and the pieces you create, and the piece that you had in the show, Basha's Frog.
Well, so I work with handmade paper, and I use different fibers. They can be from a corn husk plant or a daylily plant or banana leaf fibers, as well as cotton, recycled cotton clothing or upcycled old blue jeans. And some of those are cooked and then beaten. So there's a lot of process. There's a lot of sort of meditative time to be spending outside and thinking about fibers. And then the process of making paper is magical to me. I see these fibers that are all wiggling around in the water, and they're all disconnected. And then when you pull a sheet of paper, they somehow manage to connect with each other and bond. And for me, that's a very powerful kind of metaphor for the way that art making and art sharing binds us together as humanity. It creates this collaboration. And then the works themselves were all related to the frog from Basho's Pond, the poem that Basho, the Japanese 7th century poet, wrote and has been translated several times. One of my favorites is Allen Ginsberg's translation, which is an old pond, a frog jumps in. Kerplunk. So it's more of a haiku than a poem, but it fills you with visual images. And the metaphor of the sound of that kerplunk, that splashing of the water as a wake-up call to realize and understand. And then the frog itself is so incredible in its transformation throughout its life cycle from the little polywog, and then becoming a frog. And here on Cape Cod, I love spending time with the frogs around the pond.
There are actually like four or five frogs in this in the show, and part of it is also that they are symbols of endangered species, too. So that's also part of the wake-up.
Yeah, and who doesn't love frogs? Harriet, music is also a part of the show. So tell us more about the contribution of Cape musician Patty Larkin.
We put out a call for work, and we got, you know, as curator, I got to sort of like having a dinner party and inviting people that you want to see and who you think will, you know, contribute to each other. And Patty graciously gifted us with the use of the title track from her new CD, which is dedicated to dreamers. And one of the Art Piece Makers collective members is a dreamer, and also a lot of the art that we've, you know, the justice issues that we focus on, you know, have to do with racial justice, with the refugee and immigrant movement, you know, the climate justice movement as well. So, you know, Alejandra has been involved with all of those things. And Patty's song was such a beautiful musical tribute. There are other musicians who contributed amazing pieces to the show, and though they're not online, At the college website, that's where the show is sheltering right now. They will be online when that segues to a more permanent home for the show online. Yeah.
We're going to hear from Alejandro in a minute. We're talking about the Earth Justice Art Show. We say goodbye to artist and naturalist Mary Lou Blakesley. Mary Lou, thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Wonderful to hear your voice, too, and to be together on the air.
And we'll end the segment with a short clip of Patty Larkin's song, Bird in a Cage, and have more after a quick break.
Day by day, sing, dream, or sing. One of these days, you will. With only the truth to carry your wings, for only the truth.
You're listening to The Point. We're talking about the Earth Justice Art Show. With us is Harriet Jerusalem Corum, artist, activist, co-founder of Art Peacemakers, CapeCool.org, and the Beet Greens. Also Cheryl Ann DeJaffe, Viber artist, educator, and director of the Wellfleet Historical Society Museum. And joining us also now is Alejandra Cuadra. She's a human maker, dreamer, believer. She's a graduate of Nauset High, Four Seas, and the Maine College of Art. Alejandra, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. So we ended the last segment with Patty Larkin's song, Bird in a Cage, and she's speaking about dreamers, of which you are one. Tell us more about the intersection of identity and art for you.
I think it creates a sense of freedom through being able to realizing that there can be like limitations, but through being able to speak up and use this self exploration, it creates a sense of, in a way, revolution, a self revolution, and you realize that there's other people a part of this, and there's also a lot of people that can inspire you to speak even louder and fly even higher. And I think it creates a space of rejoice and hope and resiliency in lining in the intersection of art and the social justice and identity politics in a way.
Mm. Harriet, the personal narratives of the participating artists play a large role in this exhibit, perhaps more so than most exhibitions. How are you sharing these stories with viewers?
Well, one of the wonderful things that happened is that Jen Mahler did this video that is, you know, viewable online, and that's one way to translate just the sense of that gathering of energy and art that physically happened at Four Seas, but is now, it's a traveling show and it's going to move on, but for now it's sheltering online, and we're happy to do more radio. We're looking forward to doing podcasts to share the stories, because I was just listening to one of the, you know, the stories that you put on the air, and you, that storytelling is another thing that we don't honor enough amongst ourselves. We consume a lot of media, and there's not as much storytelling as there used to be. So it's hard. We're going through a really tough time of isolation, and I'm really grateful for you creating a space where we can be together, so many of us together online. There's so many friends of the show and artists, participating artists, who are tuning in this morning. So thank you to you and to Amy and Dan and everybody who makes it possible for us to be on the air sharing this story right now.
We are fortunate to have technology during this pandemic. It's allowed us to stay connected and also see installations such as the Earth Justice Show. But something is lost when we can't be in a space physically to see art and to share the experience with others. Alejandra, as an artist, is something lost for you when you can't interact face-to-face with people about your work?
Oh, there is so much that's lost. I think that's a challenge in a way. And I think as an artist, when there's challenges, like in the upfront, it's like how to recreate or be maybe inspired by those challenges. And I think, yeah, there is this incredible ways of communicating through technology, but also realizing that even a phone call to like a friend or a distance conversation can also help reunite that conversation or that spark as a creative being, that especially being a visual artist, when it relies on that community and that energy, that it's kind of, it's being lost in a way, but it's about recreating you with the new challenges that are ahead.
There's there's a wonderful image of a young climate activist in the show taken by Marnie Samuelson. Harriet, can you describe the image and how Marnie came to take that photograph?
Well, during the climate strike in September, there was a global climate strike, one of several, but last year, 2019, in September. And that's when I was in New York with Greta Thunberg, but Marnie was in Truro. And there was one of the musicians in the show, Michael Holt, created this gathering in Truro of intergenerational strike. And Donnie and her mom showed up, and Marnie met her there and was really moved by this young person's activism and did a portrait of her and also recorded her talking.
And joining us is the subject of that image, Donna Jola. Hi, Donnie.
Hi.
Donnie, how does it feel to be part of the Earth Justice Project?
It feels good.
So what does being a climate activist mean to you?
It means to be able to help talk about the issues and speak out and teach others about climate change and how we have the power to defend the planet.
So how do you use art to share your ideas or message?
Well, I draw pictures of, like, one time I drew an Earth, and from one of my school projects, I was talking about climate change, and I brought in like all these photos of me at different protests and different signs that I had.
So, So what do you think that are some of the things that kids your age can do to address climate change?
Find that one thing that they are worried about and learn more by asking questions, reading books, and working on small ways to fix big problems.
I imagine there are some kids your age who would think they don't have the power to make change. What do you say to them?
I know climate change feels so big and you feel so small, but small changes can have a big impact. Ordinary people can do extraordinary things every day.
So if President-elect Biden contacted you and asked, what's one thing you'd like to see me do as president to address climate change, what would you tell him?
First, I would ask him to rejoin the Paris Agreement with the rest of the world. The U.S. is the only country not part of it. I would also like him to address how animal agriculture and deforestation also affects climate change.
So this is an issue you feel very strongly about, Donnie, and I'm wondering, do you think that you'll be working to end climate change when you're an adult as well as now?
Yes, because it became about politics, not about helping the environment and the future of the planet. We should all agree that this is a world problem and work together.
All right, Donnie Jonjola, thank you so much for joining us and for doing your part to address climate change. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, Cheryl. Donnie is also a vegan, which is inspiring to me.
Wow.
and she, you know, she understands the connection. It's, you know, a lot of people feel that, you know, it's not just climate that is, you know, bearing the burden of a lot of our agricultural practices with animals, but also that it impacts our health in terms of the viruses that are transmitted through some of that trade.
Yeah. Cheryl, it can be overwhelming at times when we consider the seriousness of the issues facing our country and our world. When you hear Donnie's passion and enthusiasm, what goes through your mind?
Oh, it's thrilling. It just gives me, makes my, you know, wakes up all the hairs on the back of my neck, and it just makes me very excited for the future. It makes me feel so hopeful that, I mean, that's what really this is about, is to try and inspire and encourage others to speak up and stand up and make art and talk to each other about it and figure it out, because we all have to, stand up and try and figure it out together, because we're all in this together. There's only one planet, one people.
Yeah. Alejandra, go ahead, Harriet.
No, I just wanted to say that when I was in New York in September 2019, it was the first time that I'd been in a demonstration where gray-haired people were such a tiny minority. It was a huge climate strike, and the streets were filled with kids of all ages.
Oh, I think if you ask any young person, I mean, when I talk to young people, that's their number one thing is climate change. They're mm-hmm. very passionate about it. Yeah.
And in the climate justice movement, also, one of the things that's moving is that they've had young people and indigenous people leading.
Yeah.
Because they have been the strongest voices and are most at the front line of how we're being impacted.
Yeah. Alejandra, we talked about in the first segment, but I'm curious about your perspective as a member of the next generation and a dreamer. What's the role of art in social and political movements, and what can it achieve, and what are its limitations?
I think art is life in many ways. What art can do was said, it can bring people together. There can be an awareness and a community formation, but also realizing that there can be hope even when it's gray and cloudy and dark. But I think in addressing things as they are, unapologetic manner in a way, it can create a lot of hope, because seeing what action can look like in many ways, the action of the self, the action of the people around you, and expanding even to greater communities. So I think in a way it has limitations where it can be maybe hard for people to get across, or there's also the aspect of where art can be viewed and also where art is placed and who has access to those too. Mm-hmm. So I think within limitations, it's always looking and confronting of what those limitations speak, and how to work also with them and continue moving forward stronger and in solidarity. But in creating, I think at the end of the day, your own freedoms within the limitations that it holds. Mm-hmm. So I think there's hope in many ways.
Yeah. One of the things that was really powerful that happened with the show is that when it started in Wellfleet in January, it was Earth Peace, you know, with the ART and Earth kind of highlighted. And in the course of working with Natalie Ferrier and bringing it to Four Seas, and in the context of the uprisings for Black Lives Matter and that were, you know, taking hold in all over the country and the world, it became the Earth Justice Show, because no peace without justice. And we reached out with a larger space to a lot of other communities of people, and that really enriched the, I mean, it was a diverse show to start with, but it became more diverse. And one of the most powerful things was the inclusion and the connection with Wampanoag artists.
Yeah.
There actually are people from several tribes all over the country who were involved in the whose work is reflected in the show. But we were able to be closely connected with Julia Martin, who's an amazing artist who's, you know, from the Aquinnah Wampanoag tribe, and also with E.J. Mills Brennan, who contributed not only her beautiful weaving and painting, but her music as well.
Yeah. What other activities or exhibitions does Art Peacemakers have planned for the coming months?
Well, we're sort of, all of us are monitoring what's happening with this pandemic and trying to do the responsible thing. We have our plan A is to have our 19th annual walk on MLK Day, and encouraging people, if that happens, we start with drumming at quarter, you know, you can find more out about it at artpeacemakers.org. But we start midday with drumming, and we'll be distanced and masked. And the rest of the, there's no singing this year. It's always a silent meditation, walking meditation for all ages, which is an interesting thing for little kids to, you know, to be part of a silent walk. But that's one thing that's coming up on January 18th. And otherwise, we're looking for calling all geeks who are arty peacenik geeks out there to help to translate the next generation of the online experience. We're sort of wintering and sheltering the show online and taking a break a little bit this winter, but we do want to expand it and watch it grow. It's kind of a braid, you know, of art and community and justice work and nature love, and there are a lot of strands within those pieces of the braid. And so we're all about inclusion and trying to figure out ways to make it more inclusive.
Yeah, you mentioned the music from EJ, and we're going to listen to a piece. Tell us about this piece that's written and performed.
The piece that I'm not sure which track you're playing, but Emma Jo Mills Brennan has done lots of music, and she did the soundtrack for the video of the show that Jen Muller photographed, you know, videotaped and edited, and I'm not sure whether you're playing the song or the flute.
We're going to find out.
Yeah,
the Earth Justice Show.
We'll find out. But
it is,
anyway, it's beautiful.
Yeah, check out E.J. Mills Brennan's work is out there on online, and there's a lot of prayers. The flute music is it's the breath transformed into prayers, and but there is also songs and piano music as well that she produced.
So the Earth Justice Show is available virtually through January. We'll post links to the show and the Art Peacemakers at our website, capeandislands.org. Harriet Jerusalem Corum, Cheryl Ann DeJaffe, and Alejandra Cuadra, thank you for being with us. Coming up after break, a gallery of Native American art and offerings for Native American Heritage Month.
Thank
Stay with us.
Mindy.